Hello, friends. Pastor Alex here. I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the preaching of God's holy and precious word. We're happy to announce that we've recently taken another avenue for spreading this message. Our sermons are now available as a podcast on the internet. So if you'd prefer to follow us through our podcast, you're welcome to search us at Faith Fellowship Church with Alex Ruggieri. Please continue to pray for us as we pursue God's will here at FFC. Thank you, and may the Lord's grace be with you.
This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
The church starts reclining, the world starts declining. It's very true. When the church starts reclining, the world starts declining. And I believe that God has an issue with the mainstream evangelical church. We're reclining. And we kind of reason through that by saying, you know, the Bible teaches that in the end times the world will be wicked. So why bother fighting back? Or we think the wickedness of the world is so great, there's nothing really I can do. I mean, Jesus will probably return in my lifetime, so let's just make the best of it until he comes. But look at verse 11 in our text, Luke chapter 19. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. The people whom Jesus was talking to thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And so he spoke this parable. Well, it's been 2,000 years since that time. And I would suggest to say that those individuals found out that they were a little bit wrong about the issue. And I agree. You look at the world around you, it's lining up with Bible events and prophecies. But we've got work to do. And it's not over until God says it's over. Now look at verse 13 there. He called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas. Your Bible might say pounds. It's an old form of currency. It's about 3 months' wages. One mina is about 3 months' wages. Gave them, each of them, one mina, 10 of them, and said to them, do business till I come. If you have a pen, if you have a pencil, if you have a marker, if you have a highlighter, please, please underline that verse. Take your pen, underline those words there. I'll do it here because I didn't. We'll make sure I'm not a hypocrite. Underline those words. Do business till I come. That's the message. That's the message for us today. That's the response to the evangelical mainstream American church today. Do business till I come. Because we want to hear those words. In verse 17, well done. Well done, good servant. Don't you want to hear those words? The Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to say those words to those who are faithful. I want to hear those words, and I assume you do too. So the title of the message is How to Hear Well Done from God. We live this life, this short life, so that at the end of it, we hear God say, well done. First, receive the grace of God. This is foundational. If we miss this point, we'll never hear it. Never hearing. Receive the grace of God. In order for you to hear the words well done from Jesus Christ, you must be a believer, a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed until the day of redemption. It must begin with God's grace in your life. If you want the starting point, okay, I want to live for God, I want to hear those words, I'm just going to do the best I can and hope for the best. You miss it. It has to start with receiving the grace of God. And these 10 servants received something from God. It was a mina. But you look at the broader context of Scripture and you see that step one, part one, point one is to receive the grace of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, because there is no entrance into heaven. There are no words well done unless we are born again and His child. Look back in Luke chapter 18, verse 35. You see this happening where Jesus is going to Jericho and He meets this certain blind man. And as He's walking by, the blind man says to Him in verse 38, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Why? Because he's blind. He can't see. This represents the sinner, the person who is not born again, the person who is not God's. They're blinded by darkness. And they cannot make their eyes see. There's nothing they can do. It is the sheer mercy of God. And Jesus came to him in verse 41 and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." I need to receive something from you that I can't get on my own. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." This is step one. We come to Jesus Christ totally helpless, totally blind, totally without any capacity in ourselves to please God. And we say, "Lord, I want to receive this gift of salvation. I want to receive this life." And he says, "Your faith has made you well. Receive life and live." He did the work on the cross to forgive us of our sins. But after we are born again, after salvation, it doesn't end there, as you remember from the previous sermon. It continues. We need to receive the grace of God. If we as Christians are going to please God and hear those words, "Well done," we need to receive grace from Him, knowing that we will never do it in and of ourselves. We will never please Him in and of ourselves, of our own strength, of our own power, of our own talents, of our own resources. It has to be something that God gives us and that we receive. It's going to begin with God if it's going to end with His words, "Well done." And so if you feel like at this point in your walk with the Lord, if you feel like you blew it, if you feel like, I don't think I'm going to hear those words. Step one, receive the grace of God. Receive from God that grace of forgiveness and a fresh start. Because as long as you have breath in your nostrils, you have unlimited opportunity to invest for the kingdom of God. And some of you may feel, "Well, I don't know if I can do much. I'm so limited. I'm limited because of my resources. I'm limited because of my health. I'm limited because of my time." Whatever limitations that you feel are upon your life are no limitations to Almighty God. If God can make a wooden stick of Moses part the Red Sea, if God can make a donkey yell at Balaam, if God can make a whale provide Uber service for Jonah, if God can make a virgin conceive the Son of God, if God can make a fisherman walk on water, if God can make a decaying Lazarus come forth, if God can use these simple objects and puny people to do mighty things for Him, then God can use puny you, and God can use puny me, and God can use puny Faith Fellowship Church, and God can use us in puny Dodgeville to do mighty things for the kingdom. Why? Because it's God's power. It's God's grace, not ours. It's all of Him, it's not of us. We are vessels that He uses, tools that He uses, earthen vessels, jars of clay that He fills. You are no exception. You are no exception. Well, I can't do it. You are no exception. Well, I'm not sure about it. You are no exception. Don't put a limitation on God. In fact, the more less likely you may seem you are, the more likely God is going to use you. Why? Because all the glory goes to Him in the end. So one, receive the grace of God. God has given you a mina. Okay, we start, we say, Lord, forgive me. Maybe I haven't done what I ought. I know I haven't. I haven't invested as I ought to. Forgive me. I receive your grace. God gives you a mina. Verse 13, He gave His 10 servants 10 minas. That is, He gave one mina to each of the 10. Now, interestingly, in the account in Matthew, the servants are given different amounts. Here, they're all given the same. And I think that speaks to us that the grace of God is the same for each of us. It doesn't matter how much of time, resources, and energy we have. It's ultimately the grace of God. You see, you have been given a sphere of influence. Every single one of you. Some of you, that sphere is bigger. There are more people that you deal with on a daily basis. There are more interactions that you have. Some of you have a smaller sphere, but every single one of you have a sphere of people that you meet, people that you talk to, places that you go, things that you do. This is your mina. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I was going to have us turn there, but it says how we are God, Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared for us to do. When we come to Christ for salvation, He actually has written out in His heavenly books works for us to do. Each task is different. You each have a mina, but the way that that mina is applied is different from person to person. But each are important. We're going to have a cleaning day in a little bit. And the way we usually do it is people come and we have a whiteboard, and on that whiteboard are tasks, jobs. And every person comes and pick a task. What you feel you are geared that you can do, choose that one. And each task is different. Everyone's doing different tasks. Someone's going to be going along getting the cobwebs out of the corners. Someone's going to be going down with a toothbrush and getting all the individual spots in the carpet downstairs. All of them. Anybody want that one? It's probably going to be me now. Everybody's going to have a task. Everybody's going to have a mina. The point is this. We should never think for a minute that we can't invest, that we don't have the means to further the kingdom of God. There are three things that God has given every single one of us in this mina. Three things every single one of us have. We have time, we have energy, we have resources. Every single one of us have those things. Now, some may feel we have more energy than others. It doesn't matter. We all have energy. Some may feel we have more, some have more resources than others. It doesn't matter. We all have resources. We all have energy. We all have time. And our task is to come to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this time you've given me, this energy that you've given me, and this body, and these resources that I have? That you've given to me. So first, we receive the grace of God. Secondly, we reinvest the gifts of God. We receive the grace of God, then we reinvest the gifts of God. Verse 15. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the task was for the servants to take these minas and reinvest them. Go into the world and do business. Create a return. The problem is that too many Christians, myself included, I've got a mirror right here this morning. Too many Christians receive but never reinvest. We say, God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. God, thank you for this. But why did he give it to us? Is it all for my pursuits, for my gain, for my progress? When God settles accounts, what will I bring? He's given us food, clothing, shelter, finances. He's given us minds, bodies, voices, talents, gifts. What will we give back in the end? The same thing? Look at verse 20. There was another that came and said, Master, here's your mina. You gave it to me. Here you go. I give it back to you. What are we going to return when he settles accounts? What we receive should be invested for a return. Verse 16. The first came saying, Master, your mina has earned 10. Verse 18. Master, your mina has earned 5. You see this in the account just previously with Zacchaeus. If you turn back in Luke 19, you see this. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho again, and then there was a man, Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. He was curious what Jesus was all about, climbed a tree. Jesus said to him, come down, I must stay at your house. Verse 6, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There's the grace of God. He received Jesus into his house. And when he was in his house, he heard Jesus talk to him and received him into his heart. And then look at what he does in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. He reinvested. He had these resources and he took them and he invested. Why? Because he received Jesus. He received and then he reinvested. So how do we reinvest? Well, we have time, energy, resources. Are these time and energy and resources furthering the kingdom of God? Spreading the gospel of God? Serving my fellow man? Helping the helpless? Fighting the oppressors? We just heard during the prayer request about people who are losing their jobs, losing their dreams are being abruptly ended because of what's going on with these vaccines. Who's going to reach out to them when they become disillusioned? In 2 weeks, I've had to help with 2 religious exemptions because of threats being given to them. When somebody loses their job, who's going to reach out to them? Who's going to offer them hope? That's our job. That's our task. This is when the church shines. This is when the church steps forward and says, we will help you get through this. Freely we receive from Jesus Christ, freely we will give. We've got time. We have to ask the question, does my schedule need to change? Because God has been laying on my heart an activity I know He wants me to do. We have to ask, maybe, Maybe you want me to go into a nursing home down the road and read the Bible and pray with people who are stuck there and have had no one to go and visit them. Maybe we need to invite someone into our home who is another member of the church, or maybe even an unbelieving coworker, and get into a conversation about who they are and what they think and what they believe, and share with them spiritual truth. Maybe we need to pray. We've got time. We've got energy. Okay, every day we wake up or open our eyes, that's energy. We get out of bed, that's energy. How are we going to use this energy to further the kingdom of God? Well, we could write a letter containing spiritual truth to someone who needs to hear it. We could engage somebody we meet on a regular basis in a conversation using the vocal cords that God has given us. I was talking with a brother in the Lord recently. He mentioned how he goes to this one place to go hiking regularly, and they have a parking lot at the bottom of the hill where the trail opens up, and there's this guy who works at the parking lot, and he's directing traffic or what have you. And there was this one day where there was a long line, it was taking a while, and this brother ended up just striking up a conversation with the guy working there. And he got to talking to him and feel him out a little bit, and come to find out that he was on the same page in the political sphere. And so they just started talking about different things going on in the day, and this brother asked him, you know, do you think there's any connection between the decline of our world and people rejecting God? You know? And it opened up a door for a spiritual conversation. He was able to give him some literature, and I assume he will be continuing that conversation. He's reinvesting. I thought of this one recently. You know, there are a lot of... And our heart, I mean, does your heart go out to the children right now in our day and age? There are a lot of children, they're struggling in school. Why? Because of the way that they tried to change the format of education. We could offer a tutor service. Advertise it somehow to get connected, where maybe a parent would be okay with a child going and meeting with them, maybe at a library or somewhere, and being able to help them with their homework and get to know them. Children are so depressed right now. Children are so, they feel hopeless. Recently, I was taking our dog Millie for a walk, and I didn't notice the time when I went, and I happened to go the time that school let out up the road here. And the kids, they just loved the fact this little dog was walking on the sidewalk, and they'd come up and pet her. And there was this one boy who just was so glad to see her. And I kind of talked with him a little bit, and I could tell that, just in my spirit, I could tell he was hurting so bad. Our hearts go out to them. We need to reinvest. Lord, how do you want me to reach these kids? We've got time, energy, resources. God has given us homes. Perhaps to house a foster child. Think of it. How are we going to get out and reach those kids? Foster child comes to your home. They come to you. What an opportunity that is. We've got resources. We hear of these missionaries that are struggling in harder countries, more oppressive countries. Maybe the Lord has something on our hearts to give, to send, even if it's just an encouraging letter. We've got resources. I hear of evangelist Mark Cahill. He goes to a gas station. He'll be filling up his car, and somebody will pull up next to him and he'll say, I got your gas. Pays for them. And they say, why are you doing that? And he says, well, Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And there's an opportunity there to talk to someone. You see, God has given us these things, not just so that we can sit and enjoy them, but that so we can reinvest for the kingdom of heaven. The reason we receive is to release and reinvest. It's as simple as that. So we must receive the grace of God, reinvest the gifts of God, thirdly, resolve to gain for God. Verse 16, he had one mina and he earned 10. Verse 18, he had one mina, he earned 5. These investments are to produce a gain for God. Why do we reinvest? Well, first, it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It expands God's kingdom. As you take the stuff that God has given you and reinvest it, it grows His kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does He do that? Through our reinvestments. James chapter 1, verse 27. Why do we resolve to gain for God? Because it blesses your fellow man. He says, pure and undefiled religion is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. One of the reasons we reinvest is to help the suffering of our fellow man, to alleviate that suffering in the name of Jesus, pointing to a greater so we resolve to gain for God. Fourthly and finally, we receive the grace of God, we reinvest the gifts of God, we resolve to gain for God, and finally we rejoice in the gratuity of God. We rejoice in the gratuity of God. Look at verse 17. And He said to them, they received, they reinvested, they resolved that it was going to gain for God. Verse 17, He said to them, well done, good servant. Because you are faithful in a very little, have authority. Have authority over 10 cities. Verse 19. Likewise, He said to him, you also have authority over 5 cities. I want you to understand something. As you're going along reinvesting, the gratuity of God may never come in this life. You may not see the fruit. This is something I've been struggling with. You may not see the fruit. You may not experience the return of the investment. You may not see those minas multiplying. But the Bible says that when your life is over, or if the Lord returns, that's when He settles accounts. Not now, but then. The gratuity of God may never come until the end of your life. God will bless your investments in the kingdom here. And you might see the gain. You might see the progress. And you'll rejoice in the Holy Spirit as life goes on. But the rewards are promised for the end. And because it's received from the grace of God, any reward we get, we just cast back at Him because it's all His doing. But nonetheless, it doesn't come till the end. In our culture is so conditioned to think instant gratification. I know it. I struggle with that. I want to see results now. But the Bible teaches that at the end, brothers and sisters, at the end, that's when we will receive the gratuity of God and can rejoice. Don't think for a minute that because you failed in the past, You're past the point of no return. The first step is to receive the grace of God. It's not of you. It's of Him. Don't think for a minute that God can't use you because you're weak or you're not wealthy enough or you're untalented. God has a mina for you. Receive that grace and reinvest the gift of God. Resolve to gain for God that you may rejoice in the gratuity of God. It doesn't take much. You know, when I was dating Alicia, I wasn't the best with finances, but I wanted to buy the engagement ring. The time had come. And I asked my mother-in-law's help to help pick out one so that I don't get some fruity design that she would have to wear for the rest of her life. And I was worried about the funds because I wanted to make sure I got something that was nice and special. And so I took every ounce of dollars that I had. I had a coin jar full of coins that I was going to take under my arm, and I was going to go and pick up my mother-in-law. We were going to head to the store to get an engagement ring. And she looked at me, she said, "Alex, you can't bring that coin jar into the store. You just can't bring that coin jar." I had to convert it to a more easier to handle amount. And you know what? The blessing of that little, I get to enjoy every day. All it takes is for you to be faithful in what God has given you. All it takes is for you to sit down and say, "God, what do I have now, today? Tell me what to do, how to use it." Invest your time, energy, and resources for Jesus Christ. It makes Him happy. It honors Him. And in the end, you'll hear one of the most wonderful phrases ever spoken. "Well done. Well done." Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank You so much for what You've given us. And I pray, Father in heaven, that we would not kick back and just hope for the best, Lord. Each and every one of us are precious and are vital tools for the expansion of Your kingdom. May we be overcome with a sense of duty to establish Your purposes here on earth, to spread Your name and Your fame and Your glory. Dear God, help us. We need help. I pray for any of us that are struggling. May we receive Your grace. For any of us who have felt that we have slacked, may we receive Your grace. May we all collectively reinvest. You have a purpose for each of us as individuals. You have a purpose for this church. You have a purpose for Christians all over. Guide us, Lord. Direct us. Now bless us, Lord, as we remember Your grace, Your death for us on the cross, and the communion service to follow. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.